So you've been off smoking for a day or two or three or maybe a little bit longer, and now you're having a smoking thought, you're having a crave, you're having an urge. You can use whatever word you want, but you know, something's going on where all of a sudden you want a cigarette, and you're a little nervous about this, but you see the person down the way who you knew used to smoke, but they quit like 5 or 10 years ago. So you go up to this person and you say to them, you know, hey, you know, you've been off for like 5 years. Do you ever think about cigarettes? Well, you better be prepared for the answer you're going to get from that person. Because if you go up to a person who's been off for any time period, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, and say, just simply, do you ever think about a cigarette? The probable answer you are going to get from the individual is, yeah, there's times I think about cigarettes. Oh my gosh, is that terrifying to you? You're in an early quit. You might actually be having some physical symptoms. You might be having physical withdrawal. You might be having an overwhelming desire to smoke. You might be thinking like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to die right now if I don't have a cigarette. And then you go up to a person who's been off this extreme long time period and say, do you want a cigarette? And they say, yeah, there's times I want a cigarette. And you're thinking, oh my God, they're feeling what I'm feeling for 5 years straight. Well, be honest with yourself. I mean, think about this. This person was feeling what you're feeling for 5 years straight. It's only logical that this person would either be smoking right now or institutionalized right now. Nobody in their right mind is going to quit smoking and allow themselves to go through what you might be going through in those early stages for 5 years straight. I always tell people, if the way you feel the first day or two or three when you first quit smoking, if that's the way you're going to feel forever, oh my God, you're better off, you know, relapsing, going back to smoking until it cripples and kills you, if that was what life was going to be like. What life is like after a person is off for any time period like that is not this chronic thought for a cigarette. Okay, so did you make a mistake by asking that person that question? No, I really do want people to talk to everybody about their quitting smoking, because you can learn some very valuable lessons from people. And you'll be amazed at who you can learn lessons from. You can learn lessons from people who are off smoking for 5 or 10 years. You can learn lessons from people who are just quitting smoking to a degree, and not as much information as you can from people who are long-term quitters. And you can also sometimes get a lot more understanding information from people who still smoke. Honestly, more from them than you will get from a person who's quitting at the exact same time as you are. Though the amount of information you can get from that individual sometimes can become very limited. First, let me talk about the long-term quitter experience, where the person says, yes, I still think about a cigarette, and how that is terrifying to you. It wasn't the mistake to ask the question, but you have to ask more detailed follow-up questions. Be prepared. If you say, do you ever think about a cigarette, that the answer will be, yes, I think about a cigarette. I would like to have a cigarette. Now ask follow-up questions. One, when was the last time that you had a real strong urge? And again, be specific what you're asking, because that's what you're having right now. That's what you're, in a sense, asking about, even though you didn't say it. When's the last time you had a real strong urge for a cigarette? They may have to sit and think back and say, well, you know, it was maybe a number of months ago I had a real strong urge for a cigarette. And sometimes it'll be, oh yeah, it was probably last year. You know, every now and then I get a thought now, but, you know, not a real strong thought. They'll probably get more specific in their answers as you get more specific in your questions. So ask very specific questions. Now again, it may backfire when you ask that question. When's the last time you had a strong thought? And they may look at you and say, well, you know, it's probably about 5 minutes before you asked me the question. You know, it can happen. It may be that individual's time when they thought about it. But then ask them, when was the last time they had one before that? Because that one may have been a few weeks earlier, that one may have been a few months earlier, and that one may have been a few years earlier. You want to start to ask how frequently the urges are happening, and then to describe how long they're lasting. You see, you're in the middle of possible withdrawal. You're in the middle of just, you know, not knowing how to do anything without a cigarette and chronically thinking about smoking. So when you get a thought for a cigarette, it's like an overwhelming thought. The thought that a person gets who is off for a long time period is very likely going to be like, gee, it'd be nice to have a cigarette right now. No, it wouldn't. It's a passing thought. It's like, again, it's like the urge you guys get to clean your homes. Gee, it'd be a good idea to clean the house today.
Nah.
Something better comes along, you'll just go do the other thing, and you'll just forget about the house. Yeah, it was a good idea at the time, but it passes. That's what the thought for a cigarette becomes for many people over a long-term period. It's like, gee, it'd be nice to have a cigarette right now. No, it wouldn't. You know, sometimes if you say to a person, do you ever think about smoking, and they answer again on an affirmative basis, like, oh, there's time to think about cigarettes. Some of those thoughts that they're getting are not wanting a cigarette. Some of the thoughts is, yeah, I used to smoke when I do this. They don't want it. They don't really have any emotional attachment to it. Just they have a memory. They used to smoke when they did it. Sometimes the thought is they'll see someone smoking and coughing, or they'll see some sort of, you know, problem they're having, and they'll look at them and say, boy, I'm glad I don't smoke anymore. Or they see the price of cigarettes jump up like 50 cents all of a sudden, and now it's going to a level that, again, it's just amazing to them. And they look at them and think, boy, I'm glad I don't smoke anymore. See, that's a smoking thought. When you say to a person, do you ever think about smoking or do you ever think about cigarettes, they may be answering yes. And you're hearing one thing, and they're saying another thing. The thing they might be saying is, boy, I'm glad I'm not doing it. Sometimes, again, it is a thought for a cigarette that, again, they want a cigarette, but it's like, boy, I want a cigarette. No, I don't. It's a passing thought. So what they're saying and what you're hearing may have no comparison to each other. What they're saying maybe is, boy, it'd be nice to have a cigarette right now. No, it wouldn't. What they're saying is, boy, I'm glad I don't smoke. What you're hearing is, oh, give me a cigarette, I'll rip your arm off. And very different levels of feeling. And it's important to understand that difference. You don't want these people panicking you, especially considering these people might be able to give you some more feedback and insight, which is actually going to help support your quit if you ask the follow-up question. I also said you can talk to people who currently smoke. The important questions for them, the most important question is, have you ever quit before? Because you'll be amazed at how many people who currently smoke right now had quit at one time. And some of them had long-term quits. Some of them had quits that had gone months or years. And you will every now and then encounter people who had quits that went decades. And they're chain smoking right now. They're smoking away. You can learn very valuable information from them. The question to ask them is, what happened? How did you go back to smoking? I mean, after this long time period. And a lot of times they can't come up with a good answer. They don't know what happened. They'll say, I don't know what happened. Or they'll say some stress, or they'll say some party. They'll say something. But all those people went back the same way. The people who say they don't know how they went back, well, you know how they went back. They took a puff on a cigarette. They didn't understand that a puff was going to put them back to smoking. That's why I do want people to talk to people who currently smoke and realize that many of these people had lost quits. Quits that had been going relatively smoothly, because you could start to probe them too, like the ones who were off long time periods. But what was it like? I mean, you know, were you institutionalized those, you know, in intervening years because, you know, you were just too insane? Did you lose your job? Did your family leave you? Did everything in your life go wrong, you know, during that 5 years you were off smoking? Of course not. They'll often reflect back to realize that things really were good, that they felt good, that in fact sometimes they'll even realize they were calmer. Sometimes they'll realize benefits that they had that are gone now. And you'll often hear people who are smoking again, after they start reflecting back on it, there'll be like a sadness in their voice at the end. It's like, I gotta quit one day. And you can hear just by asking the question, you've got them thinking. But that's not the reason still that I wanted you to ask the question to really affect their quit. It was to affect your resolve at this point in time. Because you'll realize when these people are making these comments, yeah, I gotta quit one day, they're stuck doing something they don't want to do. They don't have a choice at this moment in time that you do. You can just walk away from the moment and that could be it for the day. You may not think about it again. These people are dealing with a future quit at some point if they're lucky, or they're dealing with smoking until it kills them. And again, that's the more unlucky option that they may end up pursuing, but that may actually happen. When you talk to people who are quitting at the exact same time as you, again, it's limited information. They're going to be saying the same things in all likelihood that you're saying. They have the same anxiety. They have the same nervous feeling. Are they going to be able to do this or this or this? And in some ways, you two will just panic each other. And it's one of the reasons we really discourage buddy systems when I work in smoking clinics, when we work on online resources. And again, this is what naturally most people think of doing, is getting a buddy system. And again, the reason being is buddy system has such a powerful term because people use it when they talk about AA, and they use it when they talk about Narcotics Anonymous, that there's this buddy system. But again, when you're in a buddy system in another drug kind of treatment program, a serious treatment program, and again, like AA, like NA, they're not buddying you up with someone in treatment. They're not giving you someone who's in the exact same stage as you are in the quit. They're giving you someone who's been off for probably a year or longer, who has a better mental attitude than you probably have at this point in time, who's stabilized at this point, someone who if you call up at any moment and say, oh my God, can I go for a cigarette right now? Probably isn't going to go, yeah, me too. Why don't we meet at a bar? I mean, they're giving you someone who's there to help talk you out of it. And again, because they are more stabilized and have more understanding. Buddying up with someone exactly in the state you're in, you don't know what you're going to get at that point in time. You do not know that this person is smoking at the moment that you call them. And again, it's like, oh my God, they can smoke, so can I. Well, of course you can. The issue is, do you want to? You really, if you're going to get yourself a person who works with you, don't look at it as a buddy. It's more, look at it as a sponsor. That's what people go into with other programs. They get them sponsors. And again, someone who is more stabilized. Let's understand something about a sponsor. That doesn't mean that a sponsor can't go back to using at some point too. You don't really want to lock it into one person. That's really why I want people to learn to talk to lots of people. Everybody. Talk to people who, again, have chain smoked at one time in their life, have quit now, have been off a long time. Talk to people who are currently chain smoking to find out what their past experiences are. You may also want to talk to young people you know who have never smoked. For them, not for your sake at this point, for their sake, get them to understand how hard it was what you went through, the mistake you made when you took up smoking at their ages. They don't understand often. You know, they see people smoke and they just think like, you know, well, they'll get tired of it one day, they're going to quit. You know, that's, if they take it up, that's the attitude they're doing with. They need to understand that's not what works here. This is a drug addiction. If they take it up, they're going to have to work to get off of smoking. And it's worth the effort. But it is so much safer to never have to put in that effort because you never take up smoking. So learn how to talk to people about quitting smoking. For your own sake, you want to learn to ask good questions. You want to be a good listener to that, those answers you get to those questions. And you, I mention that because sometimes if you talk to people who are currently smoking, or again, especially people currently quitting, they're going to become, at some points, very good rationalizers. These are people who are going to make it sound like they somehow had a legitimate reason for relapsing, that the reason they smoke now is because they have this problem and this problem and this problem. And understand, whatever problems they describe, they're going to have every one of those problems if they were smoking or not at this point in time. If a person relapsed because of a problem, this happens. I'll get people in clinics who say, oh, you know, they went back under some stress. It was 3 or 4 years ago or 5 years ago, and something stressful happened. That's how they went back. And I'll ask them, what was the stress? And there are times where all of a sudden the person will get this blank look. They don't remember. They don't remember what the incident was. Oh, they were in some stressful time period, but they don't know what the stress was. Which means the most significant thing about the particular stress that put them back to smoking, they don't remember the stress. The only significant long-term effect was they're a smoker now because of it. Now, sometimes they'll come up with, you know, something very concrete. Their parent died. You know, they lost their job. They got into some other real catastrophic circumstance. Their house burned down. They flooded. I mean, a whole slew of things come up. But even in every one of those examples, smoking didn't change them. Smoking didn't bring the house back. It didn't bring the person back. It didn't bring the job back. Whatever the reason the person says they went back because of some stress, understand, the stress probably is over now. The stress is years old. It's been resolved with time one way or the other, but the residual effect of the particular stress was they're smoking again. So learn to ask questions and learn to listen to the answers and to analyze the answers and see if they make sense. Because the more you understand, the more you analyze, the more you realize what smoking did to them at the time, what it's doing to them now, what it's going to do to them in the future. The more you see cigarettes, again, for what they are, the more determined you're going to walk away from that moment. When you ask that question, the more determined you're going to be to stick with your personal commitment to never take another puff.